name is above. His name is above depression. His name is above loneliness. Oh, his name is above disease. His name is above cancer. His name is above every other name. That is who.
Oh, Praise the Lord. Praise God. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you today. You're supposed to say it's good to see you too. Is that me? Who is it? That one? Guitar. He's not on. All right. 2 minutes. Won't you stand up with us? We're going to give God some praise in here today, aren't we? You got to sing for 10 people today. You got to be loud enough for 10 people. So turn it up today. We're going to just wait. We are ready. Praise the Lord. Well, good morning. It's good to see you. All those who are watching us online, we're so glad that you are joining with us today. We're going to start out, as we always do, giving God praise. And I want to read here from Psalm 47. It says, "Go ahead and celebrate. Come on and clap your hands, everyone. Shout to God with the raucous sounds of joy. The Lord God Most High is astonishing, awesome beyond words." It says, "God arises with the ear-splitting shout of his people." That means when you begin to shout praises unto God, God rises to come to your defense. It says, "Sing your highest song of praise to our King. Our God reigns over every nation. He reigns on his holy throne over all." And then Psalm 48 says, "There are so many reasons to praise him with unlimited praise." How many of you know we got a lot of reasons to give God praise today? I said, how many of you know we got a lot of reasons to give God praise today? Amen. So we're going to give God our best praise. I want to encourage you to sing with us. If you're at home, sing with us today. Worship the Lord with us today. Because let me tell you, when you give God praise, it doesn't change him. It changes you. There's something that happens to you. The joy of the Lord begins to rise up within you, and the peace of God begins to descend upon you. There's something that happens when you lift your voice and you start to praise God. And so we're going to do that today. Amen. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We come to praise you, Lord. We come to worship you. You alone are worthy of all of our praise, Lord. So we lift up our voice. We clap our hands. And Lord, we've got so many reasons. We give you praise today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hands together. Here in your light we find what makes us come alive, a sacrifice of praise. A city on a hill, surrender to your will, your glory on display. Your glory on display. Awesome in this place, Jesus, you are awesome in this place. Worthy to be praised, Jesus, you are worthy to be praised. You will be praised, yeah. You will be praised. Come on, sing it out with me. Your love.
Your love, a force of grace, consuming every space. It's uncontainable. You're coming like a flood. Our hearts are filling up. All things are possible. Do you believe it? All things are possible. You are awesome in this place. Jesus, you are awesome in this place. Worthy to be praised. Jesus, you are worthy to be. You will be praised. Yeah. You will be praised. Your praise goes on and on forevermore.
awesome in this place. Jesus, you are awesome in this place. Worthy to be praised. Jesus, you are worthy to be praised. You will be praised. Yeah. You will be praised. Your praise goes on and on forevermore. We lift the name of Jesus. Your kingdom come is what we're living for. We lift the name of Jesus. Your praise goes on and on forevermore. We lift the name of Jesus. Your kingdom come is what we're living for. We lift the name of Jesus. We lift the name.
Everybody. Sing it out with us.
I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me.
I'm gonna sing. In the middle of this storm, louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is
you.
struck wonder at the mention of your name.
The blessings. So it goes out to your family and your children and their children, so you can pass on the word of God and how powerful it is. So sing with me.
Amen. Amen.
May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations in your family, in your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations in your family, and their children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and the children and the children and the children. May his favor be upon you and your thousand generations and your family and your children and the children and the children. May his presence come before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you, in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, your weeping, your rejoicing. He is for you, 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 he is for you.
That word amen means so be it. Say, Lord, so be it to me. So be it to me. Welcome to Ascend Church this morning, family. Welcome to those that are watching online. I want to tell you the most powerful thing you could ever declare over your life is the Word of God. That's directly from the Word of God. You know, the Bible, nothing God's done did He not prophesy before it happened. Every word in the Bible, that it was always spoken before it happened. And it's the same in our lives. It's got to be spoken before it happens. And so if you want to see the blessing of God in your life, you've got to claim, you've got to lay hold on the words that are in this Bible. You've got to lay hold on God's words and you've got to declare them. As I do it, I'm declaring it. I see my children. I see their children. I see the children and the generations to come. And they may not even realize the blessing that's going to come on their lives and where it actually comes from. Just like many of you standing here, you don't know what it is that drew you to God in the way that it did, but somebody in your family was saying, Lord, I claim my descendants and their descendants for the kingdom of God. Amen. And you got to take it, family. You got to take the word of God and you got to say, that's for me. Say it. Say, that's for me. Hallelujah. That just blessed me singing that. Amen. Don't these worshipers do an amazing job? You know, they came in. They were in here on Friday practicing because it's not just a free-for-all. We try to do everything with as much professionalism as we can. But then we just want to come in and just let the presence of God fill this place. Amen. And won't you just turn and say hi to somebody and you may be seated. Thank you. Welcome those who are watching online. Just take a seat and get comfortable. Praise God. Very subdued. Wonderful. I love being in church. How about you? Welcome to those who are watching online. We're glad you've joined us. People watch on Facebook Live, and they watch on our app, and they watch on our website and on the YouTube channel. I actually want to say to you, you should subscribe to the YouTube channel because it's a more reliable platform to use, you know. So go ahead and do that. But we're going to have a good service this morning. I'm thankful that we're open. I'm thankful that we can come and not miss a beat and worship God in the house of the Lord. Amen. So good to have you here. We want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. We have had visitors every single week, and we appreciate that. And if you are actually, where's Brian? Did he disappear? There he is. Thank you for worshiping with us this morning on the guitar. Come on, give him a hand this morning. So glad. We've known Brian Fleck for many years. We bump into him at the gym. He's there a lot more than we are, but he's always there. And he teaches martial arts at the gym. So, but we've first Dan black belt, fifth Dan black belt. So don't mess with him. He's your bodyguard. He's sitting a bit far from you to be your bodyguard. But we're glad that we've known each other for years. He's a wonderful brother, loves the Lord, and we're glad he was worshiping with us this morning. Really appreciate it. But if you are here for the first time, we want to welcome you. We just want to honor you and give you a visitor gift pack right where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we can welcome you? God bless you. Come on, family. Clap for three people today. So glad you're here. Roxroy is going to hand a visitor pack to you right there, and we hope that there's something out of the. You'll get something out of the service that you came for today. There's a white card that says guest. We ask you to just fill it out. At the end of the service, we pass an offering bucket by. Just drop it in. Gives the pastor an opportunity. The one thing a pastor hates is for someone to visit the church and he says, did anybody get their name or number? Because he wants to call them. So please do that. We appreciate it. I just want to remind you of the four purposes of our church. The first one is we want you to know God. You know, it's about more than just church attendance. Isn't that true? You know, we want to get to know God, not just learn about Him, but we want to know about His nature and His character. Let me tell you, if you know somebody's character, it's like when somebody says, you know, God killed my child. God gave my child cancer. If you know God's character, you're never going to accept that. You know that He's not like that. And we want you to know more about Him and His nature, right? And second of all, we want you to find freedom. You know, we all have a past, and we all have made mistakes, and many people have had a lot of pain in their life, but we want to get beyond that. You know, it's about more than just going to heaven. It's about finding freedom on the earth. It's about living pain-free and free of your past and free of addictions in this life. Amen. And then thirdly, we want you to discover your purpose. I heard someone say there's two most important days of your life is first the day you were born, and secondly, the day you discovered why. And so we all have a purpose, and we want us to discover it's unfolding. You know, if you live with purpose, you live with an expectation for tomorrow. You live with a hope for tomorrow. There's nothing that worse than being without purpose, right? And lastly, we want to help you make a difference with your life. You know that God has graced each one of us with gifts. And you know, you might say, well, how's the church doing? We're doing great. But we'd be doing better if you were using your gift in the kingdom of God. Amen? And so we all want to make a difference. We can make more of a difference together. So that's the main purposes of our church. But Pastor Steve, we're ready for you. I wanted to just read these stats. Angela Penn, who developed our... For some reason, my face ID is not working on here. Maybe it's been my scary face through isolation. It's like, I don't recognize you. Brush your hair. But Angela Penn developed our mobile app. How many of you have downloaded our mobile app? Go ahead and do it. You'll see it. It's just, it's got that logo. You'll find it in the app store. And these are the stats that she gave us this week. She said there have been 470 downloads, 71,599 impressions. That's the amount of times people have gone on there. 1,175 sermon plays. That's good, isn't it? People are listening to the word. The sermon plays in the last 30 days are 144. You know, even on Facebook, I think up till Friday, there was like 750 views from last week's service. So we have far more people watching online, and it's a good tool. I know someone was telling us this week that they shared a message from there to somebody, and they sent us the reply from that person who said it was just such an encouragement to them. So it's a great way to share the word. And as I said, the YouTube channel is another way to do it. So go ahead and do that. Ready for you, dear? Now she
praise
talks
the
me.
Lord. Great. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. Thank you so much for those folks who said that. I appreciate it. So I want to let you know, I know that we're doing social distancing, but that doesn't mean you have to be quiet. You don't have to be. Get a little bit excited. We're in the house of God today. If I say something you like, shout amen to it. Clap your hands. Come on. Get stirred up today. Because let me tell you, something's going to happen here. Something powerful is going to happen here today. I just know it. We sang the song, The Blessing, and the band. You did a great job. Knocked it out the park. You nailed it. Would you agree? Yeah, you got that down. And that's what I'm going to preach about is the blessing today. And something is going to happen to you today. Amen. As my wife mentioned, you know, there's four different ways of watching our service. On our website, ascendchurch.us, on Facebook, on our YouTube channel, and then the last one is on our mobile app. Now, the other night, I'm sitting at home and I put on, if you've got a smart TV and you can just go to your YouTube channel, it's so great. You can watch the service right on the YouTube channel on your big TV, and it's so such a great picture. Now, today's the first day we've got a brand new camera starting today. The camera we've been using is 15 years old. We've got a new camera today, and I want to thank someone bought us a new computer, and we're trusting God for a second camera. We want to go to two cameras, but thank you for that person who bought the computers for us. And as my wife said, so many more people are watching online. But I'm glad to see more people in church today. I'm glad to see more people in church. And we can't wait to see you, our members. We've missed you. It's been a number of weeks. We can't wait to all together again. Next week's Mother's Day. Maybe you'll come back for Mother's Day next week. Next week, Mother's Day. Well, praise God. Are you ready for God's Word this morning? Father, we thank you for your Word today. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing that you have put upon us. And Father, as I declare your word today, I thank you, Father, that you anoint me. I thank you for your anointing upon me. I thank you, Lord, that you carry your word to every person's heart. You cause our faith to grow and rise up big within us, Lord. Thank you, Father, that we will not leave here the same way that we came, but we will leave changed, Lord. We will leave, we will grow. We will hear from you. We will have more faith, more hope, Father. In Jesus' name, we give you all the glory for everything said and done. And everybody said, amen. 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 You're not from Texas, are you? The lady who just turned around. I recognize you. Is it you've been here before? I thought I'd seen you before. You look familiar. You were here last week. What is your first name? That's, of course, Andrea. Of course, Andrea. I'm sorry. Well, are you ready for God's word? Because I am ready today. I want to speak to you about the blessing. That's what I want to speak about today, the blessing. Do you know that when you accept Jesus as this Lord and Savior of your life, God puts something on you called the blessing. And the dictionary defines, I went and looked up the word the blessing, and this is what the dictionary says it means. The blessing means God's favor and God's protection, a beneficial thing for which one is grateful, or something that brings well-being, or the blessing can also mean a person's support. Now, the blessing is really God's favor on your life. That's really what it is. It's a divine empowerment, a divine enablement to accomplish your God-given dreams. When you walk in the blessing, then you see supernatural opportunities. The right people come across your path. And you realize it's not your own strength, it's not your own ability. It's because of the blessing that is on your life. Are you with me so far? Now, we've all experienced a measure of the blessing. We've seen a measure of God's favor. But there's a level of blessing that God wants to release in your life like nothing you've ever seen before. The Apostle Paul said it like this in Romans 15, verse 29. He said, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing. He spoke about the fullness of the blessing. Now, the word fullness means to the highest degree. It means to the greatest measure. And in fact, if you read that same scripture from the New International Version, it says, I will come in the full measure of the blessing. So I want you to walk in the fullness of God's blessing. Maybe you say, Pastor Steve, God has blessed me. I've got a good family. I've got a good home. I've got a good job. Well, that's wonderful. But God is saying to you today, you haven't seen anything yet. You haven't touched the surface of what God has in store for you. You might have walked in a measure of the blessing in your life, but God has a much greater measure. God has promotion lined up for you. If he showed it to you right now, it would boggle your mind what God has in your future. God has opportunities in your future that are going to amaze you. He's going to bring people across your path to where you look back and you say, man, that had to be the hand of God. That had to be God. What am I saying? I'm saying what you've seen in the past is a tiny fraction of what God is going to do in the future. God's dream for your life is so much bigger than your own dream. God's going to take you places you never thought possible. He's going to open doors you never imagined. He's going to bring talent out of you that you didn't even know that you had. This is the time to get excited about your future. It is time to get your hopes up. Have you ever heard anybody say, don't get your hopes up? Well, I say, get your hopes up and get carried away. Because people say, don't get carried away now. Don't get your hopes up. I say, get your hopes up and get carried away. You're not here by accident. You've been chosen by the creator of the universe. You've been born for such a time as this. Let me tell you, nothing that's going on is a surprise to God. And he chose you to be here at this precise moment. Your destiny is not determined by the economy or how you were raised or by your education. Your destiny is determined by Almighty God. Amen. And let me tell you the good news. God has already laid out a life of victory for every single one of you. Whether you realize it or not, right now, because you are honoring God, God is arranging things in your favor. God is lining up new opportunities and new ideas and promotion and increase. And in the days ahead, you're going to look back and you're going to think to yourself, how in the world did I end up here? I didn't have the experience. I didn't have the connections. I didn't have the resources. All I can say, look what the Lord has done in my life. What happened? You tapped into a greater measure of the blessing on your life. Some of you are not releasing your faith for this fullness. It's easy to get satisfied and think, well, you know, Pastor Steve, I am blessed. I've got a roof over my head. I've got money to pay my bills. And that's good. But that's not God's best. Our God is a God of abundance. He doesn't want you just to have enough for yourself. He wants you to have so much and be so blessed that you can be a blessing to somebody else. Family, we need to go beyond. Can you say amen? We need to get beyond, well, I'm blessed because I've got food on the table. I'm blessed because I've got a roof over my head. I'm blessed because I've got peace. That's good. Let's be grateful. I believe in living with an attitude of gratitude, but don't stop there. The fullness of the blessing is when you get up in the morning and it's when you begin to say, wow, God, I'm amazed where you've brought me. I'm amazed at the family you've given me. I'm amazed at this beautiful house. I'm amazed at the opportunities that you've brought across my life. Let me tell you, when you stand amazed at God's goodness, that's a sign you're tapping into the fullness of the blessing. And you may not be there just yet. But listen, my encouragement is don't settle where you are. You got to keep your faith stirred up. Every morning you got to thank God for the fullness of the blessing. When you go out, expect His favor. You are a child of the Most High God. And our God is a God of overflow. He's not a barely get by God. He's a more than enough God. And let me tell you, what He's laid out for your future is more than you can imagine. What God's got arranged for your family, let me tell you, it's more than you ever dreamed of. In the coming days, you are going to see supernatural doors begin to open. You are going to see promotion like never before. God is going to bring people across your path that for no apparent reason, they want to be good to you. People that want to help you fulfill your dreams. You're going to have extraordinary wisdom. You're going to tap into ability you didn't know you had. You're going to walk in the fullness of this blessing. Amen. Maybe you say, well, Pastor Steve, I don't believe this is for me. I don't believe I'm going to rise any higher. Then listen, then this isn't for you. Because this, what I'm talking about, is for believers. It's for people who will let the seed of God's word take root in their heart. No matter where you are, you need to dig your heels in and say with the Apostle Paul, I'm not settling here. I will become everything God created me to be. I'm going to walk in the fullness of the blessing in my life. What is the blessing? When God created Adam and Eve, the first thing He did was He put the blessing on them. In Genesis 1:28, it says, then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, the word blessed, it said God blessed them. The word blessed means endowed with divine favor, or it also means empowered to prosper. So when God puts the blessing on your life, it empowers you to prosper. It causes blessings to be attracted to you. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1, it says, it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. And verse 8, it says, the Lord will command the blessing. Now notice, there's a difference between the blessing and blessings. Blessings come because of the blessing that is on you. Do you understand what I'm saying? God said if you honor him, if you obey him, he will command the blessing on you. And when the blessing of God is on you, it makes you a magnet for blessings. Blessings begin to chase you down. The blessing causes you to prosper and increase. I mean, some people find it superficial to talk about this in church. But when you read the Bible, you cannot help but notice that this is a major theme throughout the Word of God. Anyone who ever complains to me about preaching on blessing or prosperity, I can immediately tell they don't know the Bible. They haven't read it. They listen to somebody else who told them what they think it says. When you read the Bible from cover to cover, you cannot get away from the fact that this is a major theme in the Word of God. From the beginning, when God created man, the first thing he said to them was, be blessed, multiply, increase, have dominion, fill the earth. Are you with me? There's no denying it. When you read the Bible, it's plain to see God wants to bless you. You can be a magnet for blessings when you honor God with your life, when you keep him first. And when you obey him, then God puts something on you called the commanded blessing. And the commanded blessing, it's like a magnet. It attracts good breaks. It attracts the right people. It attracts contracts, ideas, resources, influence. All these things are attracted to you. You don't have to go after these things. You don't have to try and make it happen in your own strength and in your own talent, hoping that life works out. All you got to do is keep honoring God, and the right people will find you. The right opportunities will come across your path. Can you say amen? The favor and the wisdom and the vindication, it'll track you down. Why? Because the blessing that is on you makes you a magnet for blessings. Proverbs 10 verse 22 says this, the blessing, that should be underlined, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. The new International Version says the blessing of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil for it. The Living Bible says the Lord's blessing is our greatest wealth. All our work adds nothing to it. See, we must depend on the blessing and not just depend on our own hard work and our own hard effort and our own ability. The Bible says, I love this scripture. Listen to this. Psalm 127 verse 2. It says, it really is senseless to work so hard from early morning till late at night, toiling to make a living for fear of not having enough. God can provide for his lovers even while they sleep. Praise God. I love it, man. I went to bed the other night. I said, Lord, I'm going to sleep. I thank you for blessing me and prospering me while I'm sleeping, Lord, that you're providing for me. I've had some people tell me, Pastor Steve, I can't come to church. I'm working. I'm working, working, working. I'm working two jobs. I'm working three jobs. Listen, I'm all in favor of hard work. The scripture says in Proverbs 10 verse 4, he who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. I'm all in favor of being diligent. The New Living Translation says lazy people are soon poor, but hard workers get rich. I'm all in favor of hard work. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 10 says, even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither should he eat. I used to tell in Cape Town, in the culture of Cape Town, it was kind of a little prevalent with some of the people, the wives would work and the husbands would be at home. And I'm like, listen, honey, if he ain't working, don't feed him. So I'm all in favor of work. I'm all in favor of diligence. But here's the thing, you can't just trust in your own hard work. You can't just trust. God doesn't want you to trust in your own work and effort. He wants you to trust in the blessing that is on your life, because he can do things while you're sleeping. Amen. And I've had people tell me, Pastor Steve, I wish I could come to church, but I'm working so hard. I'm working one job, two jobs, three jobs. And so, listen, don't ever, you need to value the blessing of God more than anything else, because you don't have to work three jobs to make it. God can provide for you. God can even provide you with another job. Always keep and honor Him first. Amen. Even though God wants us to work hard, He doesn't want us to depend on our own ability. He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to walk in the blessing. The blessing of God is our greatest wealth. When you have the blessing, it brings wealth. The people in the Old Testament understood this. They knew this. Throughout Scripture, you see people prosper because of the blessing. Abraham prospered because of the blessing. God told Abraham back in Genesis 12, verse 1, now the Lord had said to Abraham, or to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. He said, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Now, what did the blessing do in Abraham's life? Abraham's servant said this about Abraham in Genesis 24. He says, the Lord has blessed my master abundantly, and he has become wealthy. And he has given him sheep and cattle and silver and gold and male and female servants and camels and donkeys. He said, the Lord blessed my master, and he became wealthy because of the blessing of the Lord on his life. Abraham prospered because of the blessing. And do you know that through Christ, God has blessed us with the same blessing that was on Abraham? The Bible says in Galatians 3 verse 14, through Christ Jesus, God has blessed us, the Gentiles, with the same blessing that he promised to Abraham. Say, the same blessing that was on Abraham that made him prosper is on me and causes me to prosper. Let me tell you, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, David, Solomon, Job, they all prospered and they all became great because of the blessing that was on them. And we see the blessing on Abraham's son, Isaac. Even though a severe famine occurred, the Bible says there was a severe famine that struck the land. And he was living in a place called Gihar, where the Philistines lived. But the blessing on his life caused him to prosper even in the midst of a famine. It says in Genesis 26, verse 1, there was a famine in the land. And in verse 12, it says, then Isaac sowed in that land, and he reaped in the same year 100-fold. He sowed and reaped 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. In the midst of a famine, where there's no rain, his crops produced 100-fold. It says the man began to prosper, and he continued prospering until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. The Philistines saw the blessings, the blessing on Isaac's life, and they envied him. Let me tell you, when you got the blessing on your life, you can prosper even in the midst of a famine, because you're connected to a supply line that will never run dry. In Psalm 1 verse 1, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. And if you read the Passion Bible, it says he will be standing firm like a flourishing tree planted by God's design, deeply rooted by the brooks of bliss, bearing fruit in every season of his life. He's never dry. He's never fainting. He is ever blessed. He is ever prosperous. That tells me, man, when I walk with God and I meditate in the Word of God and I do what God says, it says, I'll be like a tree planted by the river. It doesn't matter what's going on. If you're by the river, you're by the source, you're always flourishing. You're always in season. Can you say amen? Listen, I want to encourage you. Don't be talked into having a bad year. The economy is not our source. Your job is not your source. God is your source. Trust Him. Jeremiah 17 verse 5 tells us, this is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. It says they are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited and salty land. It says, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and their confidence, because they are like trees planted along a river bank with roots that reach deep down into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat. They're not worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. Can you say amen, somebody? Don't go around thinking, well, I'll tell you what, man, this is going to be a tough year, man. Oh, this is going to be a rough year because of this shutdown. I got laid off from my job, or looks like I could be laid off from my job. My business had to close down. Oh, man, this will probably be the year that I go under. This is going to be a bad year. No, listen what God says in Job 5, verse 22. God says, you will laugh at destruction and famine. In Psalm 65, 11, it says, you crown the year with a bountiful harvest. Even the hard pathways overflow with abundance. I don't care how hard the path is. God says you can overflow with abundance. You can laugh when famine comes because you know that you like a tree planted by the rivers of water that you keep on producing no matter what's going on around you. Can you say amen, somebody? Come on, God is your source. And when you got the blessing on you, you'll prosper even in a famine. Abraham's grandson, Jacob, also had the blessing on his life. His brother Esau gave it to him for a plate of stew. Esau gave away his right to the blessing. You see, Esau and Jacob were brothers. They were twin brothers. They were born at the same time, but not identical. And in those days, only the oldest brother, the firstborn, had the right to the blessing in those days. Esau was born first by just a couple of minutes. So he was the one who was in line for the blessing, but he didn't value it because he sold his birthright to his brother for a plate of stew. In Genesis 25, 29, now Jacob cooked a stew and Esau came in from the field and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with that same red stew for I am weary. And so Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. And Esau said, look, I'm about to die. What good is this birthright to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. So he swore to him. And he sold him his birthright. He gave away his birthright for a plate of stew. Now, when Isaac was very old, he told Esau, his oldest son, in Genesis 27, he said, take your bow and quiver of arrows and go out into the open country and hunt some wild game for me. And he said, prepare my favorite dish and bring it here for me to eat. And then I will pronounce the blessing that belongs to you, my firstborn son, before I die. Their mother, Rachel, overheard this conversation. So she favored Jacob and she told Jacob, go get me two goats and I'm going to prepare your father Isaac's favorite meal. And Jacob takes in the meal. Even his father's eyesight was failing because he was so old, he couldn't see so good. And Jacob, you know, was concerned that his dad might realize it's not Esau, because he wasn't hairy like his brother and he smelled different to his brother. His brother was a hunter. So Rachel, his mother, put some of his brother's, Esau's clothes on Jacob, and she covered his arms with the skins of the goats and she covered his neck. And Isaac thought it was Esau, but it was actually Jacob, and he pronounced the blessing over Jacob. And then later on when Esau came in and he found out what Jacob had done, he was furious. And the Bible says in Hebrews 12, verse 17, for you understand that later on, when he wanted to regain the title to his inheritance of the blessing, he was rejected. He could find no opportunity to repair by repentance what he had done, no chance to recall the choice that he had made, although he sought it carefully with bitter tears. Do you know there's some decisions that are irreversible? And so he made the wrong choice. He didn't value the blessing. What happened with Jacob and Esau? Well, Esau wanted to kill his brother Jacob. So Jacob fled and went and to work with his uncle Laban and lived with his uncle Laban. And his uncle Laban was very unfair to Jacob. He made him work for 14 years in order to marry Rachel. And then he decreased his wages 10 times over those 14 years. But even in spite of that, Jacob ended up becoming very wealthy. Because let me tell you something right now. When you got the blessing on you, you can prosper in a famine. When you got the blessing on you, you can prosper in spite of unfair treatment. Jacob wanted to return home with his wives and his children now, after many years. But Laban, his uncle, didn't want him to leave. Because his uncle Laban said, he said, please don't go because I know I've become wealthy. I know the Lord's blessed me because of you. And he said, just name your wages and I'll give it to you. So Jacob said to Laban, listen, you don't have to give me anything. Just do this one thing and I'll stay. Let me inspect all of your flocks and remove all the sheep that are speckled and spotted and all the black sheep and give these to me as my wages. And in the future, if you see any sheep that don't have any speckles and don't have any spots or are not black, then you'll know that I stole them from you. And so Laban agrees. So Jacob then takes branches from the trees, peels off the bark, makes white streaks on the branches, puts the peeled branches in the watering troughs where the flocks came to drink, because that's where they mated when they came to drink. And when they mated in front of the watering troughs with the white speckled branches, they gave birth to speckled and spotted lambs. It says in Genesis 30, verse 43, as a result, Jacob became very wealthy with large flocks of sheep and goats and male and female servants and many camels and donkeys. He became very wealthy. Jacob prospered. You want to know why? Because of the blessing that was on his life. Joseph also had the blessing on his life. Now, Isaac is the son of Abraham. Jacob is the son of Isaac. Joseph is one of the sons of Jacob, the youngest son. And Joseph had the blessing on his life. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 33, verse 16, let the blessing come on the head of Joseph. And then it says in Genesis 39, verse 5, so it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in his house and in the field. Why? Because the blessing was on Joseph. So Joseph's working for Potiphar, and everything in Potiphar's house starts to prosper because of the blessing that's on Joseph. Joseph was promoted and protected because of the blessing that was on his life. David had the blessing on his life. Solomon had the blessing on his life. Solomon became the wealthiest man who ever lived. Job had the blessing on his life. In Job 1, verse 1, it says there was once a man named Job, and he lived in the land of Uz, and he was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God. He stayed away from evil. And it says he had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 teams of oxen and 500 female donkeys. He had many servants. He was, in fact, the richest person in the entire area. Now, does it seem strange that God would open up the book of Job by listing Job's possessions? Now, this is Steve Barry. He had 3,000 camels, 500 teams. Doesn't it seem a little strange that God would list that? What is spiritual about that? The thing that's spiritual about it is the fact that God gave it to him. It was the blessing of God. And a lot of people, all they know is about Job's troubles. You know, poor old Job, poor old Job. Job's troubles lasted for 9 months. And in the last chapter of Job, in chapter 42, verse 10, it says, when Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as he had before. Let me tell you, you cannot defeat someone that has the blessing of God on their life. They might go through some trouble, but God brings them out better than before. Can you say amen, somebody? Now, you need to activate the blessing in your life. You need to activate. It's one thing to have the blessing on you. It's another thing to activate that blessing. You've got to release that blessing. And the blessing is activated by our faith and by our obedience. Say, the blessing is activated in my life by my faith and my obedience. The Bible says in Hebrews 4, verse 3, for those of us who believe, faith activates the promise. See, faith is what makes the promise of God a reality in your life. In Hebrews 6, verse 12, it says, do not allow your hearts to grow dull or lose your enthusiasm, but follow the example of those who fully received what God had promised because of their strong faith and patient endurance. You see, if you're going to receive everything God has promised and destined for your life, it's going to take faith and it's going to take some endurance. Number one, you got to believe the blessing is on you. Number two, you got to decree the blessing over your life. And number three, you got to be obedient to the Lord. Let me say it again. Number one, you got to believe the blessing is on me. Say, the blessing is on me. Number two, you got to decree it. Say, thank you, Lord, that the blessing follows me everywhere I go and the blessing rests on me. I'm walking in the fullness of the blessing, and supernatural doors are opening because of the blessing that's on my life. And then number three, you've got to obey God. That's how you activate the blessing. In Deuteronomy 28 verse 1, we read it earlier. I want to read it one more time. It says, it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today. It says that the Lord will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. You see, all these people that I mentioned to you in the Old Testament that walked in the blessing, they were faithful to obey God's commands, to obey God's voice. They obeyed God's command. They obeyed God's command to tithe. Let me tell you, the blessing and tithing are linked. You cannot talk about the blessing and not talk about tithing, because they are linked. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 30, it says, the best of all first fruits of any kind and every sacrifice of any kind from all your sacrifices shall be the priest's, and you also you shall give it to the priest, the first of your ground meal, to cause a blessing to rest on your house. Now, I like the Good News translation says, my blessing will rest on their homes. Understand this. When you honor God with the tithe, the first tenth, the first 10% of every dollar you get, it causes the blessing to rest on your house. And that's why things start happening. Things are supernatural opportunities. Doors open, promotion comes, because of the blessing attracts these things. Proverbs 3 verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. See, when you honor God, that's when you experience plenty and overflow. Tithing activates the blessing in your life. And all those tithers said, amen. All the Old Testament people who walked in the blessing were tithers. Do you know that? In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1, it says, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, it says, to whom Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace. It says, without father. Now, this is talking about Melchizedek. Abraham gives a tithe to Melchizedek, and the Bible says Melchizedek was the king of Salem, the king of peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, to him whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. It says, indeed, those who are of the sons of Levi who receive the priesthood have a commandment to receive tithes from the people. The Bible says God has commanded those in the ministry to receive the tithes from God's people. It says, according to the law, that is from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. The next verse says, but he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promise. Now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. It says here where we live, mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Now, what this is saying is, when you bring your tithe, the Bible says bring all the tithe into the storehouse. When you bring your tithe into the house of God, when you bring it into the church, then really you're giving it to men. The Bible says, here men receive them, but there he receives them. Because really, you're not giving it to people. You're giving it to the Lord Jesus. He receives it in heaven, but we use it for the work of God on the earth. But you got to realize that you're giving your tithe to the Lord, not to me. Abraham tithed to Melchizedek. I believe Melchizedek was Jesus who came on the earth. I believe, you don't have to believe it, but I believe it was because he was without father, without mother, without beginning of days, end of it. I believe it was Jesus who came onto the earth. And this is telling us that tithing is a commandment that God has given to us. In Genesis 14, verse 17, I'll read where it happened. The story with Abraham, it says, after Abraham returned from his victory over Kedorlaomer and his allies, the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Sheba, that is in the king's valley. And it says, Melchizedek, king of Salem and priest of God Most High, brought Abraham some bread and wine. And it says, Melchizedek blessed Abraham with this blessing, the blessing. Did you see that? The blessing of the supreme God, creator of heaven and earth, be upon you, Abram, and blessed be the God who delivered your enemies over to you. And it says, then Abram gave Melchizedek a tithe of all the goods that he'd recovered. So Abram brings a tithe of all the goods, the spoil, and he brings it to Melchizedek. And in return, Melchizedek declares the blessing on him. Let me tell you, when you honor God with a tithe, God puts the blessing on you. It activates the blessing in your life. Not only did Abraham tithe and Isaac, but Jacob, his grandson. Where do you think Jacob learned about tithing? He learned about it from Abraham, his grandfather. Move on to me in Genesis chapter 28. It says in verse 20, Jacob. Now remember, Jacob prospered. He went to work for labor, ended up becoming very wealthy. Remember that story I told you just a couple of minutes ago? Can you remember that far back? Well, the same Jacob in Genesis 28, look what he said. He said, he made a vow. He said, if God will be with me, and keep me in the way I'm going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on. He says, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and the stone which I have set up as a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that you give me, Lord, I will surely give a tenth back to you. Now, Jacob made that vow before he became wealthy. I'm convinced that the reason he became wealthy is because he made that vow and it activated the blessing on his life and it caused him to be blessed. Even though Laban treated him so badly, he ended up wealthy. David loved God's house so much, he gave all his personal treasure to build the temple for God. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 29 about David, David said, now, because of my devotion to the temple of my God, I'm giving all of my private treasures of gold and silver to help in the construction of the temple. This is in addition to all the building materials I've already collected for his holy temple. And it says, I'm donating. David donated more than 112 tons of gold from Ophrah and 262 tons of refined silver to be used for overlaying the walls of the building. David gave his own private, all that he had, his all his private savings, 112 tons of gold. And he said, and for the other gold and silver work to be done by the craftsmen, now then, who will follow my example and give offerings to the Lord today? Now, Abraham went from being a shepherd boy to the greatest king that Israel ever had and gave, what did I say? I'm just testing you. I'm just making sure you're listening. David went from being a shepherd boy to the greatest king of Israel and ended up giving 112 tons of gold. Do you know how much that's worth? It's worth $5 billion in today's currency. He gave $5 billion to build the temple of God. Let me tell you, all this happened because of the blessing. David's son, Solomon, was a huge giver. And the Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 6, Solomon went up to the bronze altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of meeting, and he offered 1,000 burnt offerings to the Lord. Now that, you can just read over that so fast. You've got to understand what's involved in just offering one burnt offering. I mean, all that's involved in sacrificing a bull, 1,000 of them, I mean, this would have taken, I don't know how long. It says, the same night, God appeared to Solomon, and he said, ask me, what shall I give you? Right after Solomon gave the 1,000, made an offering to the Lord, a sacrifice, 1,000 bulls, the Lord appears and said, what can I do for you? What can I give you? Let me tell you, giving and tithing is an act of worship to God, and it gets his attention. In Acts chapter 10, an angel appears to a Roman centurion whose name is Cornelius. He was a God-fearing man, and the Bible says he prayed regularly, and he gave generously. And the angel appears to Cornelius and says, you need to call for Peter, because he's going to tell you words whereby you may be saved. In Acts 10, verse 4, it says, the angel said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now, if you don't know what alms are, let me read the Living Bible. It says, your prayers and gifts to the poor have not gone unnoticed by God. Do you know that when you give, it gets God's attention? It gets God's attention. Solomon asked for wisdom. When God said, what can I give you? Solomon said, Lord, I need wisdom to govern your people. And God replied to him in 2 Chronicles 1 verse 11. God said, Solomon, because your greatest desire is to help your people, you did not ask for wealth, you did not ask for riches, you did not ask for fame, even the death of your enemies, or even for a long life, but rather you asked for wisdom and knowledge to properly govern my people. God said to him, I will certainly give you wisdom and I will give you knowledge as you have requested, but I will also give you wealth and riches and fame such as no other king has had before you or will ever have in the future. And Solomon became the richest man who ever lived. He prospered because of the blessing that was on his life. He became the richest man who ever lived. All these people prospered because of the blessing on their life. And I've shown you examples of Old Testament people who had the blessing on their life and what it did for them. But let me tell you, do you know the Bible says you are the greatest example of God's favor? You are the greatest example of the blessing and favor of God. How do I know that? Because Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6 says he raised us from the dead along with Christ and he seated us with him in the heavenly realm because we are united in Christ Jesus. Notice verse 7. And so God can always point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his favor. Say, I am an example of the incredible wealth of God's favor. And his kindness toward us is shown in all he has done through us, for us in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that you and I are the examples of the incredible wealth of the favor of God. So we look at Abraham and say, man, he had God's favor. We look at Solomon, man, he had God's favor. Look at David, he had God's favor. You are the one that God points to as the example of my favor. When God says, you want to know what my example is? You want to know what my favor is like? Look at so-and-so. Look at this. You and I in Christ. Now, Paul wrote this scripture ages ago. And I believe the future ages that Paul's talking about is the day we're living in today. I believe God is saying you are the example of his favor. You are an example of the blessing. He's saying that we are going to see far and beyond favor. Favor like people never ever seen before. Because you know the Bible says we got a better covenant. And it's got better promises. And think about all God's done in the past. All the miracles that God has done when you read through the scriptures. He parted the Red Sea. He stopped the sun for Joshua. He gave the Israelites the promised land. You think of all that God has done. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, when your God ushers you into the land that he promised to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give you, you're going to walk into large, bustling cities that you didn't build. You're going to walk into well-furnished houses that you didn't buy. You're going to come upon wells that you didn't dig, vineyards and olive orchards that you didn't plant. He says, when you take in all this and settle down pleased and content, make sure you don't forget how you got there. God brought you out of slavery in Egypt. God is the one who did that for you. God gave them cities they didn't build. God gave them houses they didn't buy. God gave them wells they didn't dig. He gave them vineyards they didn't plant. And Paul is saying that in the ages to come, God is going to do things that will far supersede anything that he's ever done in the past, family. We are living in those days. And if you will keep God first, and if you will honor him, and if you will obey him, God will give you favor you didn't have to work for. God will give you promotion, even though you weren't the most qualified. Let me tell you, he'll release extraordinary blessings simply because you're his child. You need to get this down in your spirit. This is going to be a supernatural year. God is going to unleash his favor in unprecedented ways. You might have had some victories in the past, but you need to get ready because I believe your greatest victories are still in front of you. In Jesus' name, what God's done in the past is going to pale in comparison to what he's about to do. Can you say amen? Somebody, you might as well get ready, man. This is going to be a great outpouring of the goodness of God like nothing you ever seen before, family. You and I, we're living in the right time. We're at the right place. And as long as we continue to be people of excellence and integrity and honor the Lord, there's nothing that's happened in the past and there's nothing that'll happen in the future that can stop this blessing from coming our way, family. You may say, well, Pastor Steve, how can you say that with everything that's happening in the world with the coronavirus and the stock market and all the experts say it's going to get worse before it gets better? That may be true in general, but it doesn't have to be true for you and me, family, because we connected to a supply line that never runs dry. My God said, I'll supply all your needs according to my riches in glory. We got the blessing on us. Dare to believe for this limitless favor. Dare to believe for the fullness of the blessing in the name of Jesus. Do you receive that today? You ready? Get Barry set up with a mic, please. Can someone make sure we got a mic on right over there? You know how to turn it on. Now, I want to tell you something. Barry's going to come up in a moment and tell what God is doing in his life. And I believe it's because of the blessing. And Barry, he met Gigi at CrossFit. And Gigi invited, and Gigi's married to Bill right over there, the guy right on there. And so she invited Barry and his wife, Annette's out of town today, to come to their house for dinner. And when they went over to dinner, move on for me now. When they went over to dinner, Annette, Barry's wife, she said that she felt to ask Gigi to pray for her because she was having, I think, some physical ailment. But she didn't know whether Gigi was even a Christian. But just at that moment, Gigi turned around and invited her to come to church. Because that Sunday, we were having a healing service, and I was preaching on Jesus the healer. And so Gigi invited Annette and Barry, and Annette came to church for like 3 Sundays, and finally Barry showed up with her after about 3 weeks. You were out of town. You were traveling. He was working. He was traveling. And so they've been coming to our church now. I don't know. When was that? Maybe 6 months ago? 5-6 months ago, and they've plugged in, they've joined our church, they started giving, they started tithing. In fact, I love the fact Annette said to us the other day, she said, I've never been so excited about tithing and giving in my whole life. And they've been Christians for a number of years, and I'm just excited about what God is doing in their life. And when Ed Trout was here in February, come on, Barry, when Ed Trout was here in February, Prophet Ed Trout, he prophesied over them, and they recorded it. And I'm not going to read everything he said in the prophecy, but come up on stage with me, Barry. But I'm going to tell you a little bit of what Prophet Ed Trout prophesied. He said to them, God's going to prosper you, really prosper you. He said, you've not only been generous, you've been obedient. And he said, Barry, you and Annette are going to be amazing givers in this church. He said, you're going to create platforms that will help God's people because you told God, I don't want to be just another. And Barry said, he said that so many times. I don't just want to be a salesman. He said, I want to make a difference. I want to make an impact. And Ed said to him, you're going to prosper from businesses that, or something that was put into motion a long time ago. Ed said, it's all part of the plan. So I want Barry to come. Give Barry a hand. Won't you welcome him today? Come stand right here. Come on. Come stand right up here. And I want Barry to tell you what has happened because the Lord has done something amazing. And I felt that you would be encouraged to hear this.
Thanks, Steve.
You on?
Yeah, I'm on. I'm
all right, go
on.
Right ahead.
You took my whole shtick, you know.
No, I just introduced you.
Oh, you did. Yeah. My foot's asleep, so if you see me doing this, I'm okay. I'm going to say hello to my beautiful wife. She's helping her mom on her way home. Love you, babe. Yeah, it's been a very interesting journey, and I have to warn you, you can't hand people that like to talk the mic. So just hold yourself there for a second. It's been an interesting journey, you know. As Steve had mentioned, you know, we got to sit with Ed Trout and Cartwrights and Abel, and I've never met a prophet, never had lunch with one either, and it was really interesting the things that he was saying, and it really kind of harkened back to it when I actually gave my heart to God. Many years ago, we went to a church and never understood, you know, being born again and things of that nature. And, you know, tithing was, you know, it was the money talk at the church. You know, I grew up in a Methodist family, and it was the frozen chosen, and that's just what you did every year. You make sure you write that check every month, and, you know, it's fine, but I never really understood that. And so as we gave our heart to God, you know, we started tithing, and, you know, and that's when I said, you know, God, if you're really calling me, I got to be honest with you. I mean, I'm making great income. My family's doing very well. We've got all the things that you would want to have. But I just wasn't happy. I felt that there was more. I thought there was more significance to reach out there. And I said, God, I just don't want to be a salesman. I don't want to be 55, 60 years old and just a salesman. If you are a salesman, that's a great, you know, it's a great income. It's a great life. But it just wasn't for me. And I didn't know that he actually heard me. Oh, he heard me. I gave my heart to God, and everything went upside down. Everything went upside down. And what I learned is that you have to have the endurance that you just spoke about just a right. second ago. And then you have to have the obedience to say, okay, we're going to do it. And then that tithing thing, oh, whoa, you know, and how'd the joke go? You know, when the guy says, you know, we made $100,000, pastor helped me learn to tithe. And when he was making $3 million, he was like, whoa, 10%. And the pastor says, well, let's pray, Lord, that you make $100,000.
Take
it back to $100,000. Like, okay, stop right there. And so, you know, when you go through, and we were tithing and we came through, and I'm going to get to my point here in just a second, but, you know, it was really important. And so when we moved to Florida, we looked for a church for a couple years and just couldn't find it. And thank you, Gigi, Bill, for the invite. I was traveling. I was in China. Mm-hmm. And my wife came, and my wife has Lyme disease, and then that started the healing process. And amazingly, she's almost healed.
Praise
God. She's got
God.
A few small. Praise she's God. Healed. Praise she's God. Got a few little minor things. So as we keep going through, we started tithing again. And then all of a sudden, my business that I run, I'm a contract CEO, and I have a current business that I'm running, and you know, we're getting an offer to buy it. I'm like, fantastic, you know, offer to buy it. That's what we want to do. We want to get them sold, you know, and, you know, take a little bit of a break and then maybe move on to another project. And I thought, this is going to be fantastic. And then this coronavirus hits and everything starts to tumble and like the transactions on hold. In fact, it matters. We don't even know if it's going to get sold or we may have to fire sell it. When we're going to get a great price now, we actually may end up having to fire sell the entire thing. And so it's like, oh, how did that just happen, right? And then about 3 weeks ago, a friend of mine called up and he says, what are you doing now? I said, oh, I'm in the middle of this transaction. My hands are full. I'm doing this. He goes, let's talk. I really need some insight from you. And so what I did not know is that we got together and we started talking about this project that he had just taken on. My friend had been investing with another gentleman with a very renowned scientist who invented the EPT strip for home pregnancy, and he invented the glucose strip and a number of different home diagnostics tests. And they had been working with him on a vitamin D test that they were going to bring out to the market for home diagnostics, and things were starting to come together, and they're about to really roll it out, and all of a sudden COVID-19 comes into play. And the scientist comes to them and says, hey, I can make the world's best COVID-19 test because it's just like this test, this test, this test, this test, this test, this test. He actually has 300 FDA approvals on products. And so he has a very large knowledge base on actually how to take serology tests, blood tests, and turn them into actual viable test options. And so in that process, they came together and said, yes, this is, we're going to do it. They started pumping a bunch of money into it. There was a bunch more money that came in and said, hey, we really need this. And they started getting going. But all of a sudden, they came to me and said, we really need you to take this company over and take it to the next level. We got to get this plant built. You know, we acquired a plant that used to be the chief scientist at one point. He sold it 5 years ago. So we took this plant over. And all of a sudden now, I'm the CEO of this company in a transaction, but now I'm the president of this company actually moving forward. This company is absolutely amazing. And I said, God, I don't want to be another whatever it is. So now I feel like God has taken me into from a desperate situation. Trust me, and you're an entrepreneur, that's a desperate situation, into this prosperity and this blessing that now starts to fulfill Ed Trout's words. Because when Ed and I were sitting at the table, if you could indulge me just for a moment, his exact comments were, you've not only been generous, thank you, honey, who was just driving that tithe message at home, but obedient to God. You don't have an agenda. That's why God has called you. You have learned things in your past that were not easy. You struggled. God let that happen. Line upon line, you learned it once. That's the obedience. That's the endurance. If you're entrepreneurs listening to this, buckle up. It's going to be a fun ride. I wouldn't recommend it for everybody. It says you are going to be prospered from different businesses. That was put into place, that was put into motion a long time ago. You have all these subsidiaries going. It's all part of the plan. Again, I did mention there are over 300 FDA licenses in this platform. A platform. I wasn't going to be joining a platform anytime soon. I was selling a business and going to get my golf game going. That's what I was going to do. Well, God had different plans. And the last one is, well, I just actually mentioned it. You are going to create platforms that will help God's people because you told God, you ready for this one? The exact words, I don't want to be just another. The exact words that I prayed to God. Never met a prophet. Never got to have lunch with them. But God was listening. So my word is test God. Don't just trust him, test him. Tithe. Put it forward. Test him. I did. Well, now I've just been given something that now I get to help God's people. I'm in the fight against this COVID-19. This is absolutely, I can't wait till tomorrow morning. I can't wait to get up tomorrow morning. I can't wait for that 40-minute drive down to Pompano Beach. I can't wait for that because it allows me the opportunity to fulfill the blessing.
So let me just say this. Let me tell you a couple of things that Barry's not telling you. I want to tell you a couple of things he's not telling you. So they asked Barry to be the CEO of this company, correct?
The president.
The president. And the president. And they've got a factory in Pompano. And they are going to start producing COVID-19 tests. And the test will give you an immediate result. You prick your finger, you put it on the strip of, like this little paper strip, and you get an immediate result. It'll tell you whether you ever had it. Am I correct?
Correct.
Now, the test, they are going to produce how many per day?
The goal is 1 million
tests per day. 1 million a day. That's 5 million a week. They are going to sell the test for how much?
$20.
$20 a test. A million a day is $20 million a day. That's $100 million a week. That's $5 billion in a year. Now, hold on. We ain't got the best part yet. They get a phone call from Governor DeSantis. He says, we heard about what's happening. We want to come and do a press conference with President Trump at your factory and let everybody know what's going on. Then they get a phone call from Jeff Bezos, who is the CEO of Amazon. And he said, I heard about it. I want the first million and I'll pay premium. Then they get a phone call from the CEO of Disney. Ever heard of Disney, anybody? And Disney, they told them, we are losing $40 million a day. And we want your test because we are going to test everybody that walks through Disney World. Just think about it. Because of the blessing that is resting on you, that has been activated by your obedience and your faith and your tithing. Now, this blessing is causing Barry to be in a position where really millions and billions of dollars going to flow through his business. That is a result of the blessing of God. Isn't that great?
Amen. Amen.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
So I want to tell you, Barry, I think I'm more excited about this than you are. And I'm so thankful to Gigi and Bill for inviting you and Annette to come to church. Who would have imagined? Isn't this amazing? Isn't God worthy of some praise? Come on, give him some praise today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Barry. Father, we thank you for your blessing on Barry and on Annette. And I thank you for helping him, guiding him in this business, giving him godly wisdom, skillful wisdom. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father. We give you all the glory and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. We are so excited for Barry and Annette. I tell you right now, Some of you think, well, that could never happen for me, Pastor Steve. I don't come from the right family. I don't have the right connections. It seems very unlikely. Listen, you have the blessing of God on you. And if you will activate the blessing by believing it, by decreeing it, and by obeying God, let me tell you, you may not come up with the COVID test, but let me tell you, God can give you one idea that can lead to all kinds of blessings and opportunity. The Bible says in Proverbs 8:12, you will find out knowledge of witty inventions. Do you know the Lord's done this for Tom and Anna Cartwright? He gave him an invention. He had an idea to make a fan blade that looks like a palm leaf. He sketched it out, had it manufactured, had it patented. That one product, fan blade, became the biggest selling fan blade in the history of the industry. Let me tell you right now, God can give you one idea that makes millions of dollars. God can cause you to be in the right place at the right time. God can bring talent out of you you didn't know you had. I want you to start believing for the fullness of this blessing, no matter where you are. Amen. God wants you to rise higher. He wants you to be more blessed so you can be a bigger blessing. Will you get a vision for it, family? Will you shake off the barely get by survival mentality and go out every day expecting the surpassing greatness of God's favor to be seen in your life? Because if you will use your faith and believe God for favor and decree the blessing over your life and honor and obey God and be faithful to Him, I want to tell you, God will amaze you with His goodness. What you've seen in the past is going to pale in comparison to what God's going to do in the future. The Bible says in Proverbs 28, a faithful man will abound with blessings. Just stay faithful to God and you're going to see blessings, explosive blessings, where suddenly you find yourself further than you ever imagined. And instead of dreaming your dreams, you're living in your dreams. You're walking in the fullness of the blessing in your life. And when you look back, all you'll be able to say is, wow, look what the Lord has done for me. Look how good God has been to me. Can you say amen, somebody? Come on, can you say amen, somebody? I want to declare the blessing of God over you today. In Numbers chapter 6, verse 23, it says, tell Aaron and his sons to bless the people with this special blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord protect you, and may the Lord smile on you, and may He be gracious to you, and may the Lord show you His favor and give you peace. And whenever Aaron and his sons bless the people of Israel in my name, I myself will bless them. Listen, I want to declare the blessing of God on you today. You receive it today. I declare, I bless you by declaring in the name of Jesus, you are blessed with God's supernatural wisdom. You have clear direction for your life. I declare you are blessed with creativity. You are blessed with courage, with ability, with abundance. I declare you blessed with a strong will, with self-control and with self-discipline. I declare you are blessed with a great family, with good friends, with good health, with faith, with favor and fulfillment. I declare you are blessed with success, supernatural strength, promotion, and divine protection. I declare you are blessed with an obedient heart and a positive outlook on life. I declare any curse or negative word that's ever been spoken over your life, that is broken right now. In the name of Jesus, I declare you are blessed in the city, and you are blessed in the country, and you're blessed when you come in, and you're blessed when you go out, and everything you put your hand to is going to prosper and succeed. I declare the blessing of God on your life in Jesus' name. If you receive it, shout amen, somebody. Shout, I receive it in Jesus' name. You're right there, man. We're itching to sing that song, man. We're itching. I just want to tell you, before we sing this song, this is the time we're going to give. This is the time we're going to receive the offering right now. I want you to stand ready. And if you're watching online, I encourage you to give online. It's so easy. You can give at our website, ascendchurch.us. If you're here today, you can. If you're on Facebook, there's a little link you can click on there to give. And if you're here in the service, there's envelopes in the seat back in front of you. There's various ways of giving at our church. You can give by writing a check. You can give by credit card. You can give online at ascendchurch.us. You can even give by text, by texting 833-768-6722. And so right now, I want to thank everybody who's given online. I want to tell you, our church, we're doing great because of the faithfulness of the members of our church. You've been giving online. Praise God. Thank you. We are believing God for this blessing. I don't care what's going on in the rest of the rest. Not that I don't care. I do care. But that doesn't have to stop you from walking in the blessing of God. God can provide for you in a famine. God provided for Israel in the wilderness. He rained down manna from heaven. He sent them quail. Let me tell you, don't let what's going on around you steal your faith. Keep trusting God. Keep believing Him. Because let me tell you, I believe God's raising up people. My sister is a salesperson for closets. She's had her best month ever. She is selling like crazy. Stacy Buck, man, she's a member of our church. She's doing great. Her business online doing great. Let me tell you, you can walk in the blessing of God. Even when it's tough around you, you can be blessed wherever you go. Amen. Ushers, are you ready to receive the offering today? Or did they already do it? Roxroy, can I ask you, are you ready to give today, everybody?
Yes.
Say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Let me tell you, if you're not a tither, I really encourage you to take that step of faith. Honor God. Because tithing is honoring the Lord. That's really what it is. Take that step. Watch and see what God will do. Amen. Thank you, Roxroy. If you can pass those offering baskets. I'm going to ask you to remain seated just for a moment till the buckets come by. As soon as the buckets come by, if you want to stand up, we're going to end our service today by singing the song, The Blessing. May His favor be on you for 1,000 generations. You receive it today.
May His favor be upon you and 1,000 generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May His favor be upon you and 1,000 generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May His favor be upon you.
May the blessing of the Lord be on you, on your family, on your children, on their children, for 1,000 generations. In the name of Jesus, shout amen, somebody.
Amen.
I just want to tell you right now that here's the key. The key, most important thing to walking in the blessing, and it is receiving Jesus into your life. It's receiving Jesus in your life. Let me tell you right now, the Bible says in Romans 10, verse 9, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and you confess with your mouth that He is Lord, you will be saved. If you've never done that, I encourage you to receive Jesus in your life. It's that simple. Just say, dear God, I thank you for sending Jesus to the earth. For He died on a cross for me. He rose from the dead for me. I believe He's alive. I ask You, Jesus, come in my life. I confess that You, Lord of my life, I surrender to You. And from this day, I'm going to live for You in Jesus' name. Let me tell you, if you say that prayer, if you receive Jesus in your life, God will put the blessing on you. Not only will you spend eternity in heaven, but you'll walk in the blessings of God on this earth. We love you. Thank you for watching and joining us today. We hope to see you next Sunday for Mother's Day. Come and we hope to see you in person. We love you. God bless you. The blessing of God is with you in Jesus' name. Amen.